Well, it happened again. I heard about a need in the church, and as a young pastor, I immediately went through my brain. I went through the list of members, and I thought, there's a need in the church. Let's figure out how to do this. And my mind came up with somebody, so I pulled out the book, and I looked up the phone number, and I reached and grabbed the phone, and I called that member and asked that member, invited that one to serve in this new thing we had to, this new ministry, this new thing we had to do. And she said, no. And I realized as I hung up, why did I ask her? What a dumb thing to do. And I found as a young pastor, my eagerness, I would reach for solutions that I thought would help, and I would get no's a lot of time. And God brought this problem on my heart, and I realized something needed to change. And God gave me a solution that I'm going to share with you today that that changed a whole bunch for me as pastor. And have you ever needed wisdom that was very specific to your situation? I'll take the quiet pause. Yes, Pastor, of course. God has a solution for us in many of life's circumstances, and we're going to look at it today. We saw last week that there's a spiritual battle. We're coming to the end of Ephesians. Are you disappointed? Are you excited? How are you feeling? Disappointed. All right. We could start back over maybe and go back through it again. Maybe. I love Ephesians, and this has been a joy. This is almost the last message. We've been looking at how Jesus is the faithful one. He's the faithful one. And in him, we can have all we need to be faithful to this life he's called us. And what a joyful promise. He keeps promising in many different ways as we go through Ephesians. And last week we saw, or a few weeks ago, that there is a battle and that we are armored by God. And since it's God's armor, it cannot fail. Praise God. And since we fight the evil one who's already been defeated, we cannot lose. Praise Jesus. And as long as we fight God's battle in God's way, there is victory. Amen? Amen. And what a joy that is. And while Paul is talking about these different pieces of the armor, he goes directly into this final passage without a break, without a transition or a change of any kind. So this final passage of Ephesians is actually a continuation of the thought from last week. In fact, the New International Version I'm going to be reading from just used the word and, because these things are connected. And so this is a natural progression. I want to look at that with you. Would you stand with me? We're going to be turning to Ephesians 6. I should mention the verses, right? Some of you are already there. Verses 18 through 24. Let's stand in honor of God's word, and let's listen first in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we open your written word, we reflect that it is for us, and that your Spirit speaks to us even as we hear and as we read these written words for us. And we ask that you would bless our hearts and our lives because of these things. May we live the way you call us to by your grace, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 6, verses 18 through 24. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage you. Peace be to the brothers and sisters in love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Thank you. You may be seated. A family was at grandma's house. They all were seated around the table, and as grandma brought the food and served it up, most of the family bowed to pray. Little Billy immediately began eating from the plate. And his mom said, "Hold on a second, Billy, what are you doing? We always pray before we eat." And Billy replied and said, "Well, that's at our house. We're at Grandma's house, and she knows how to cook." Might be some grandmas in the crowd. The nursing home loved that one. Prayers for all kinds of things, right? The truth I want to share with you today is not intellectually or morally profound, but if you live it out, it will profoundly change your life. And it's just simply this: praying all. Praying all what, you might wonder? Well, Paul's going to tell us five different ways that we pray all today. There are five alls in this scripture. It's a little hard to tell with this translation, but I think you'll see with me as we go along. There's five different things. We're to pray on, and there's a sheet in your bulletin if that helps. I like cute pictures. There you go. We are to pray on all occasions. All occasions. All events. Family times, meals, going on a trip. There's never been a happening that couldn't use prayer. That dilemma I mentioned to you as a young pastor, God sent me a solution. I learned that I should pray before every phone call. Now, if you're a millennial or younger today, you might say, "Well, how many phone calls do you have in a day?" Well, how many texts do you have in a day? That's how it used to be. Okay, not exactly. But still, we used to call a little more often than we do. And God showed me that if every relationship mattered, every phone call mattered. And he had me pause before I picked up that phone and pray. And through that, God helped me reduce some dumb mistakes and helped me sometimes think of some smart things from time to time. And helped me also by just giving supernatural revelation of not that I necessarily knew the future or could read someone's mind, but God just directed me to make choices that reflected his wisdom and not just mine. And it was a game changer for me. Now, I was already doing it for emails because, you know, I had already done the reply all thing by accident, as many of us have, but God directed me to do it before every phone call. And I just want to encourage us. You might hear some ways today that helps you pray more, and I just want to take a hold of that. Make a note of it if God shows it to you, and let him help you pray all in your own life. That's the first thing, is all occasions. And the second thing is all kinds of prayer and requests. Now, we could put a whole sermon series on this, but we don't need to. Just to mention that there's all kinds of ways God calls us to make prayers, and one of the translations says supplications to the Lord. Have you ever asked of God something that seemed kind of silly? God isn't saying don't ask those things. I've noticed for myself, sometimes when I go to pray for something, the thing I thought I wanted sounds kind of silly. And God helps me kind of change course on that. And all of a sudden, just through prayer, I realize I ask for better things. God shows us through our prayers what to ask for. Now, Paul doesn't give us a whole list of all the different kinds of the biblical prayers there are out there. I was able to gather through help a kind of a list here. And this isn't all of them, but this is a lot of them. Silent prayers, or prayers that are verbalized, audible prayers. Remember, Hannah prays silently and the priest is like, "What are you doing?" Also, there's private prayers and public prayers. There's formal or spontaneous prayers. You know, sometimes having a book to help you give some ideas on prayers is good. But also, we have to pray from our heart, whatever the Lord lays in our heart. So spontaneous is helpful. Also, corporate prayers. It's such a blessing to be able to pray with the body of Christ. Also, arrow prayers. Those are prayers that we just shoot up into the sky the moment God lays us on our hearts. And it's important for us as people just to be ready. If something rises in our heart as a prayer, might as well shoot it all the way up, right? Of course, we have a hunter's education person in the crowd. We don't shoot arrows into the air. This is just, you know, this is just for prayers. We shoot straight up in the air, right? But also, there's intercessory prayer. You know, there's praying for someone else, a need that's not our need, but God calls us to help us pray with someone else. And worshipful prayers, the kind of prayers that just rise through worship, you know, praise, and the things that spontaneously come. And also, abiding prayers. Jesus calls us to abide with him, right? To rest in his presence. And just the prayers where we're listening and we're praying back to him the things that he's saying. Like I said, this isn't an exhaustive list, but I think it's a helpful one to help us think about the ways that we can pray. All kinds, because God answers all kinds of prayers. Amen? Amen. My grandfather, Delbert, graduated from high school before his 17th birthday, if you can imagine that. It was in the midst of the Great Depression in the 1930s. The only available work was mostly on farms and usually only during harvest times. Anybody remember those days? You know, one of the reasons I love to have funerals and memorial services, it helps me remember the places that we came from. And same with my grandpa's stories. With his parents' permission, he left North Dakota to hitchhike to Floydada, Texas, where he had some family. I have no idea if that's how you pronounce it, but that's where they went. He did well, and he was going back and hitchhiking back, and he did well till he got to Lincoln, Nebraska. But by then, his clothes were so dirty because he hadn't been able to wash them that he could no longer get rides, he found. He could no longer hitchhike. So he was back to the final plan he had. The last thing he could do was to ride the trains. So he got on a train, and the train was heading to Chicago, which was not where he was supposed to go, but it was bad advice, and he realized as he was heading east, this is going the wrong way. Unfortunately for him, the train went 100 miles before its next stop. So he stopped in a small town in Iowa, and he got off and waited for the next train. It was most of the day. The sun was setting when he got on that train and headed back west. The only place he could get on was the tank car. And the tank car had a 2-foot wooden railing around the outside of the tank. So the best place he could be, he found, was at the front of the car, right over the wheels. And as he was riding the sunset, it got dark, and he realized, just in case, he better anchor himself. So he wrapped one arm around the brake bar, I think it was called, and one leg around the inflammable sign, the foot or the leg, I forget how it was. And he decided he would hold on. He was sure he wouldn't fall asleep, but all of a sudden, he woke up. He woke up, it was pitch black, but there was the brakeman cussing him out for doing something as dangerous as that. So he got off the train, and he started walking in the dark into the country. And he laid down there in the countryside, looked up at the bright stars. And as he gazed up at the stars, he heard a voice say, "Your mother's prayers kept you on the train tonight." That's part of our family's testimony. And his mother was an intercessor for him. Mothers, don't stop praying for your kids. Even when they're old and grown and flown, right? Keep praying for them. All kinds of prayers. And also at all times. Now, I just want to say there are blanks to fill in, and Microsoft Word got this blank right as it was filling it in. What do you know? Even Microsoft gets it right from time to time. Even AI gets it right from time to time. At all times, since our primary posture is faith, our primary act is prayer. So prayer must saturate everything we do because the eternal things are what matter most. But we don't have eternal power or any spiritual power outside of Christ. Even our best righteousness is just a gift from God. It's a response to his grace. It's empowered by his grace. So prayer must be our primary act, or all our acts are doomed to fail. Even Ephesians 5:16 says, "Redeem the days, for the days are evil." Redeem the time, for the days are evil, it says. How do we do that? Well, one of the ways we do that is by praying. Prayer. We pray before meals. We pray at wake times and bedtimes in the middle of the night. How many have been woken in the middle of the night and you knew you needed to pray? Praying at all times. There's a lot of important things we need to pray for. So he calls us to pray at all times. And then fourthly, we are to pray for all the Lord's people. Now, Paul's very specific. Before he asked for prayer for himself, he asked him to pray for all the Lord's people. Now, Paul isn't just being humble here. He's serious. We have to pray for each other. Sometimes it's easier. You know, we hear, pray for the church leaders in Malawi, or pray for our missionaries, or pray for the Bible college. You know, those kinds of things seem easy to pray, but there are other prayers that are harder. Like, pray for the one you have conflict with, or pray for that impossible situation. You know, all of these things involve people, and God's calling us to pray for all of the Lord's people. When you think of Paul's situation, not long before this prayer letter he handed off to Tychicus is going to be read to the Ephesians, Paul was in Ephesus, and there was a riot there. All the silversmiths who make these idols of the goddess Diana, Artemis, they were called into this huge riot was happening, and they were brought into the amphitheater. And Paul wanted to go into the amphitheater because he thought, here's a whole bunch of people that need to hear about Jesus, right? So I'm just going to go. But good thing that he was stopped. He was stopped by some friends of his who were called officials of the province, it says in Acts 19. I don't know who they were, but they stopped Paul from doing something dumb. I'm sure they at times asked for prayer for their leadership they had in that place. Also, you can tell there's some division between the Jews and the Gentiles in Ephesus, and obviously praying for them was important. And Onesimus and Philemon are in the circles of churches that Paul is going to have this letter read to. You might remember that Paul asked Philemon to free his slave, Onesimus. That was a huge request. Obviously, Paul is praying for them. And Apollos appeared out of nowhere in Ephesus and quickly became a superstar of ministry after needing just a little correction from some good church folks there in Ephesus. Then he went on to minister powerfully in Achaia. I'm sure he came to mind in this request. Pray for those, the Lord's people. And that reminds me, who have you been asked to pray for? We have to pray for all the Lord's people. And then the fifth all we hear about is all our circumstances. Paul describes his circumstances to them so that he can pray for every aspect of it. Now, some of us would love to read a full page here of Paul describing all his circumstances because he's in prison as he writes this, possibly in Rome. And we would love to hear more than we do, but it's okay. All our circumstances. Believers, we don't pray for everything in the world necessarily. You know, my brother sent me a clip yesterday that he went to a Dodger game and they won pretty big this week, and he just had the clip of the grand slam in the bottom of the ninth that won the game, which sounds pretty exciting. I just got to say, sports can be pretty exciting, but there's aspects we don't need to pray for, you know? We can pray for the witness that the Christians have there as athletes and as those of us who go, and we can pray for all kinds of things, but we need to pray especially for kingdom work. You know, the work that gets done in us, you know, we're called, our mission is to love others where they are and help them follow Jesus. And that helps us focus on just the main things, loving and helping and being a witness and reaching out to others, you know. And so to pray for the work that we do and for each other is important. All our circumstances, it says. Paul was engaged in the Lord's work all day long. Of course, the first part of it, he was just working because he was a tent maker. He was a leather worker, and so he'd work with his hands. But even during that time, Paul was working in the Spirit, and he was praying for stuff, and he was getting ready to preach and to teach. And wouldn't you know it, some of his co-workers came to Christ. Aquila and Priscilla, we hear about them later. They became huge leaders in the early church in that area. And we hear about them later on going back to Rome. So we know they had a big part in the early church in the Epistle to the Romans. We hear about it. And so Paul isn't just working when he's preaching and teaching out there on the street corners, right? And in the gatherings, but also he's working everywhere he goes. God is using him. And so the circumstances matter. And the daily life that we live in matters. And praying for each other in all aspects matters. One more thing. Paul asked for prayer for two things. And it's pretty astonishing when you look at it. It kind of blew me away this week. Because I always thought these were the two things that came easiest to Paul. Did you notice the two things? He said, in the opening of his mouth, which is the New American Standard Translation, pray for me in the opening of my mouth and also for boldness. The same Paul who blabbed all night long in Ephesus or wherever it was, where Eutychus, that young man, was sitting on the ledge and he fell asleep and he fell and died. No joke. He died. It was so bad he had to be revived. It was an absolute miracle. And then scripture says Paul went on talking after that. That Paul is asking for prayer in the opening of his mouth. Wow. The one who almost didn't listen to his friends in Ephesus, who almost rushed into that amphitheater to try to preach to a bigger crowd than maybe he'd had the whole season. I don't know. That Paul is asking for boldness? Yes, apparently. And when you consider where Paul's boldness in speech comes from, maybe it wasn't his own unique gifting. Maybe it was the Spirit of God. Maybe you realize the strength of prayer. Maybe the ones who are serving loudest and biggest are the ones who need it the most. I don't know. Do any other believers need prayer for words to say and the boldness to say them? Anybody want to testify? Anybody looking forward to a week where maybe, yeah, I need some words to say and I need the boldness to say them? Well, ask for it. Let's pray for each other. That lives would be changed, not just in this room, not just the people we know, not just the ones who already are walking with Christ, but the ones who need Him. That He would give us the boldness in the words. There's a missionary named Milton Cunningham who told the story of boarding an airplane, sat next to a young lady. She was a child and she had Down syndrome. And right after he sat down, she leaned over to him and asked, "Did you brush your teeth this morning?" He was a little surprised, but he responded that he had. She said, "Do you smoke?" When he told her no, she said, "It's good. People die of smoking." "Do you love Jesus?" she asked. He said yes, and they were talking about the Lord when a tense, high-powered businessman sat on the other side of this child by the aisle. Sure enough, in a moment, she asked him, "Did you brush your teeth this morning?" Embarrassed, he said yes. More uncomfortable was her next question, "Do you smoke?" The businessman replied, "Well, I do, but I am trying to quit." And then she asked, "Do you love Jesus?" He cleared his throat, looked around, and whispered that he had been thinking a lot about God recently. That was all the opening this missionary Cunningham needed. He was able to explain the gospel to him and share the good news of Jesus with this man who had never heard it clearly before. And maybe we pray for boldness of others around us as well as boldness for ourselves. But God wants to use you in surprising ways. This week, this year, just need to pray for all our circumstances. And so, praying all prayers, praying all times, all occasions. This is a big calling. How do we do this? How do we pray this to God? Well, I could just, as a pastor, tell you in some creative way with a funny story and a poem and pat myself on the back and say I did a good job. But I want to do one more thing before we go. I want to invite you into the heart of a God who asks this thing of us. I want you to think with me about a God who actually wants us to pray this much and in this way. What kind of God desires to hear all the prayers His people could voice? I'll tell you something. As a human, at the end of the day, I sometimes am a little tired hearing from others. I won't ask for anybody else like me. This happens from time to time. And even this week, I remember I was listening to the news, and at one point I thought, oh my goodness, I can't pray for another thing. And I just had to switch it off, and I often pray after hearing the news. I think it's a good thing. But like, I just couldn't hear anymore. They weren't done, but I was. You know how it goes? There's just too much. Anybody ever felt that in your heart? Can you imagine all we know about God? That he's all loving, all seeing, all listening, all hearing, all knowing. That very God wants to hear from all of us, all the burdens on our heart, all the things we could possibly voice to him. Can we comprehend a God like that? Just to help us, I'll say this. I wasn't in the military, so I've only heard about the command structure in which it operates through others. And I won't say TV, I don't know if that's, you know, that's not a good source necessarily, but imagine with me, does a general want to hear about every problem every soldier has in his command or her command?
No.
No. Not hardly. I could be wrong, but I get the impression that he or she wants to hear from about hear about it from a subordinate, right? Just summarize for me, you know? Unless it's a big thing, then maybe perhaps a commission or a team or somebody, you know, can bring together this big concern. But generally, the general wants to hear about the general things. That's why they call it, you know, and wants to hear about it from one person. And those are only the big things. She or he doesn't want to hear from Sergeant Jackson's headaches, you know, or Lieutenant Major Smith's resentment about Colonel Chen's appointment, right? The promotion. A general doesn't want to do that. And a general's command is only so big. Imagine a God who wants to hear from all of us. That's an amazing thought. It blows my mind. This is the God we're urged to pray to. It's not in our sinful human instincts, but it's in the Word of God to instruct us as His people to bring all our concerns before Him. And if you doubt that truth, let me give you one more thing. I submit to you Jesus' own pattern of prayer that He taught to all His disciples around the world, where He doesn't even tell us to bring us His problems, but instead asks us to request our daily bread. That's the God who's asking us to pray. Give us our daily bread. This is the Father Jesus revealed and the King in whose kingdom Jesus invites us, the one He prayed to. And one more thing. If you really start to take in all the kinds of prayers in the Bible, both taught and modeled, you'll very quickly find that prayer is more than just asking for stuff. He's inviting us into a whole lot more. And so part of the reason that Peter, or Paul, and Jesus, and the prophets, and everyone else back to the beginning of Scripture modeled praying continuously is to elevate prayer beyond mere requests, beyond merely stuff, responding to the Spirit's invitation to actually walk with Him step by step, moment by moment, to walk with Him. That's really the grand thing He's calling us to. And when we see that, it's a game changer. Jesus wants us to walk with Him step by step. And this is the life of prayer. This is what Jesus is inviting us to. Does that raise your spirits? Frank Laubach was a missionary in the Philippines, and he felt the call to give every moment to God. And the only way he could think to do it, maybe he's type A, I don't know, is to pray 1 second of every minute. And so that's what he challenged himself to. And I'm not going to challenge you to that today. That sounds needlessly complex for some of us. After 4 weeks, he reported that he felt carried along in each hour by the Spirit, and that he was just doing his part, and that God's part was much bigger in his work. He was just cooperating with God in little things. God was doing the big work, and God transformed his ministry and his work there. And from a lonely post in the Philippines, God raised Frank Laubach to the status of Christian world statesman and spokesman for China. He founded the World Literary Crusade, literacy, and operating today to help people read around the world. Post-World War II, God used him for something so big when he asked for something very small. And this is one of the ways we carry the cross. I love this quote from Sadhu Sundar Singh. The cross spares those who bear the cross. If you can see this, that Jesus wants to walk with you day by day, it's a game changer. And so where we end this epistle where we began, we end with prayer. And we mean it. We're praying to the great God who wants to hear your heart. He wants your life to be glorious, bearing and radiating the glory of God. And the only way it can happen is through prayer. And so this amazing, wonderful God calls us, his little people, into prayer. I just want to finish this message today with a couple of challenges to consider. And these are very specific, so I just want you to hear me out and then see if the Lord is calling you to this thing. Prayer is not an add-on to the useful things we do for God. It's one of the most important things we can do. And so prayer doesn't make our plans holy, but instead is the only way to make sure that our planning reflects the Spirit's counsel. Prayer doesn't sanctify a human-powered obedience, but instead begins each act of obedience, empowering our walk in Him. And so, challenge number one, if you feel burdened to pray for our church, what if you take it to the next level? Here's our phone number. By the way, call it anytime you want. I like to answer the phone. Susan likes to answer the phone. But if you notice there, one of the numbers there is very familiar if you've lived in Linden for a little while. And our number is easy to remember, which is great. So I just want to challenge you at 3:54, every day at 3:54. You know, I was assuming p.m., but if the Lord awakens you in the a.m., that's okay too. Let 3:54 be a time, when you see that on your clock, be a time you can just lift a prayer for the work of Crosspoint Church. And one of the best ways we can do that is just to pray for some ministry, something you're not a part of, but you know it's important to lift that up. Lift up the leaders, lift up all who serve, lift up the ones who are being blessed by the ministry and the resourcing of the ministry and every aspect of it, that love and that work would bear fruit. So that's challenge number one. And if God leads you to it, just commit your heart today to do that. And here's another one. I'll invite ushers if you would come. You've got those little stickers for us. This is a little thing I learned a long time ago. One of the ways that can help us pray at all times is to help us, something we look at an awful lot, our devices. I should have worn my watch today. You know, our watches, our cell phones. We've got these little stickers for you. You could just hand those out. There's four different colors. I just encourage you, they're not real big. There's probably somewhere on your screen that you can get, that you can put a sticker. Pick a color, pick a thing, or put it somewhere else, something else you're going to see a lot of, and just put it there. And by the way, these stickers won't last forever. So if you want to take a few just in case, that's fine. Whatever it takes till you get into the habit of being thoughtful about praying more, about submitting every moment of the day to Him. I want to close in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there are moments in our lives if we're honest, we admit we don't want you around. But part of the work of sanctification is for your people to be made holy in every aspect of our lives. And each of us is on our own journey, Lord, but we are where we are because we're following you and your grace is here for us. And so we just, right now, if there's any impediments, moments, or things in our life that is not submitted to you, Lord, I just want to ask along with that brother, that sister, whoever you have impressed upon today to be hearing this, Lord, to raise that thing to you, to toss it out of our lives or raise it, whatever the thing is, Lord. If it's a sin, it needs to be cast aside. Lord, if it's something else, it's a good thing you've given to us. It just needs to be raised up to you. So I want to ask with that one or those ones who are raising to you right now as you speak to hearts. This thing, Lord, these things to be dedicated to you so that all of our lives are dedicated to you. Lord, we want to be completely consecrated. We want to be filled with your grace and your glory, be sanctified, holy. And we just affirm, Lord, as your people, by your word, we affirm this is not only possible, this is what you're offering to us. This is what you're excited for us to have, to live the Christian life, not partly, but fully, in your grace. And Lord, we reflect on today, knowing that prayer is the way that we do this. Prayer is the beginning of every good thing. Prayer is how you make every moment holy and everything in our lives holy. Thank you for prayer, this gift. Lord, help us to visualize it. Help us to remember it. Help us to submit each act, each thing unto you so that we're living in your Spirit, not just entering it from time to time or at set times, Lord, but living in your Spirit and walking in it. Help us in this, Lord. And now, Lord, as we look to you, give us your grace. We thank you that you answer prayer, and we trust, we know that you are. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.